Welcome to Behavioral Health Today, a podcast by Triad Behavioral Health, where we cover trending topics in behavioral and mental health. This podcast is designed to share unique and relevant topics occurring within the world, our communities, and bring them a mental health perspective.
Welcome to Behavioral Health Today. I'm your host, Dr. Graham Taylor, and with me today is Dr. Kristen Wilkinson. Kristen lives outside of Chicago and is a licensed clinical psychologist at the Barrington Center for Counseling and Psychotherapy. She's a contributing writer for Stepmom magazine and an adjunct professor at Elmhurst College and Midwestern University. Kristen is also, in her free time, a remote coach for Triad Behavioral Health. Kristen specializes in working with young adults, women, divorce, step families, and bariatric surgery candidates. She also has extensive training in working with anxiety, depression, body image, perfectionism, grief and loss, adjustment, and relationships and family concerns. Today we're talking about daughters of divorce and an experience referred to as the sleeper effect. Kristen, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me back.
It's great to have you back and looking forward to this topic. You know, as we're talking about divorce and families, we know that all children, and the adults too, experience a myriad of psychological effects related to the divorce process. And there are unique differences, we know, between different ages and also the genders in the children and their response to the divorce. For girls, in terms of our topic for today, there's an experience that can often occur that's referred to as the sleeper effect. Describe the sleeper effect for us.
Absolutely. This is an awesome topic. I really love being able to discuss this. So it's exciting to be on the podcast today, getting to just talk about the sleeper effect. And so it's funny because so many women experience this phenomenon, yet so many people probably have no idea what it is. If you go to Google and you type in the sleeper effect, the first result is actually about the psychological views of the delayed effects of persuasion, which that's, you know, important for many reasons, but that's not what we're talking about today. The sleeper effect that I'm talking about is, you know, arguably less known and widely felt by many women. And what it is that stepfamily research, you know, has shown strong evidence of a sleeper effect for girls with divorced parents. And in short, the studies concluded that girls show a significant delayed negative effect in adjustment regarding, you know, divorce of their parents than do boys. And that the sleeper effect has these severe consequences for women, you know, as they enter, especially into their late adolescence and early adulthood.
This is an effect that's occurring, but oftentimes not well seen or even recognized or known. You Google it, you're getting something else regarding persuasion, not this here, that's very prevalent. You talked about consequences of the sleeper effect for young girls, young ladies. What are some of the effects of this that are consequential?
Absolutely. And perhaps the most important sticking point here is, well, what does this all mean? So, okay, you know, we're seeing these delayed effects, but what are the effects? What are the consequences? And, you know, some of these issues were studied quite intensely by a researcher named Judith Wallerston. She did a really incredible 25-year longitudinal study out of California, which I feel like is unheard of, right? We don't get to do that as much with resources and things like that. So in her study, she showed that women in particular that were these daughters of divorce, that some of these issues included anxiety, lack of trust, and intimacy issues. And what's interesting, you know, when we think about our society, girls typically are programmed to be good, you know, to be caregivers, and it tends to sometimes silence their pain and their need for individuation as they enter into these formative years, which we, you know, typically call adolescence. And so in my own stepfamily research that I did with my dissertation in 2016, we actually found that stepparents have significantly lower levels of adjustment and well-being when they have stepchildren over the age of 10 versus those stepparents with stepkids under the age of 10. And I know we had talked about this in our previous podcast. And so further research has found that this is suggested to doing to adolescent stepchildren, you know, having this difficult time adapting to their stepfamily. And as we see with the sleeper effect, that girls in particular from these divorced families, they become young women, and they potentially have these serious adjustment issues that are finally surfacing. And the issue deserves to have some spotlight, you know, as it affects many women in their current or future relationships.
So you're talking about the individuation, this natural process, kind of going from teenage years to kind of our young adult years, that the individuation differentiation times is critical for our development psychologically, and also as it relates to going into our adult relationships in healthy ways. But if there are issues of trust, issues of esteem, possibly, talk about some of the psychological pieces, trust being one of them, that can interfere, as you've seen it, as you researched it, going into that individuation time in a way that allows them to come in trusting, secure, understanding of themselves. Name some of those aspects that we see emerging during those times early on.
Right. And I'll connect this too to kind of when we start to see this effect. And so, you know, as a therapist, I work with a number of families, right? You know, both intact step families. And I've spent the past several years of my professional career working with adolescents and young adults in university and private practice settings. And I've specialized in these women's issues. And I've seen the sleeper effect play out for my young patients time and time again. And let me give you a little snapshot of what I typically see. So, you know, this story may be sad, but true for a lot of these women, that young girls, they'll experience their parents' divorce. Perhaps they'll swallow their anger and sadness regarding the divorce and assure their parents, you know, I'm okay. Yeah. However, as they enter into early adulthood and they go to college or they, you know, go into full-time work or their full-time career, they begin to struggle to find themselves as individuals. And, you know, by the time these women get to my office, they're usually depressed, they're anxious, they have considerably low self-esteem, they don't trust partners, they don't trust in marriage. In Judith Wallerstein's study, which again, a 25-year study back from the 70s when it began, she actually found that only 40% of these children of divorce who she had studied went on to get married. 40%. So there's like this lack of distrust just in relationships, that they're going to last, that they're going to be successful. And, you know, I want to be fair here, right? Is this always the trajectory? You know, the short answer is no. But step family research shows time and time again that a significantly higher number of girls over boys will show these delayed negative effects from their parents' divorce. Mm-hmm. And that empowering women, you know, helping them to find their voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my passion. That's my life's work for sure.
Yeah, I really like that. That's both, you know, when you're talking about the marriage rate of those young ladies coming out of, you know, divorced families, step families, and it only being around 40% that get married, that's both significant and sad. And so I really like this idea of being able to understand this sleeper effect and being able to help identify it early. I always like the idea of, you know, early detection, early intervention. Before I talk about that piece, can you talk a little bit about what are you seeing for these young girls, young ladies in these families post-divorce and then maybe getting into, let's say, a stepfamily, for example? What are some of the things that aren't happening in those families that's resulting in some of the sleeper effect beginning to develop for them that affects their later relationships and their sense of self? What's going on in those families? And what's not going on in those families that might be helpful to them?
Great question. I think what we tend to see is that with girls in particular, right, you know, the divorce happens, they're traditionally pre-adolescence or, you know, school age. And with girls, we tend to see them want to be caretakers to their parents, you know, whether it be they are primarily living with mom or they're primarily living with dad, they want to be their caregivers to make sure that they are okay. And so what happens is there's sort of this sacrifice, for lack of a better word, this sacrifice of where am I in all of this? How am I feeling about this? It's more of, I just want to find some peace and some semblance of normalcy within my family. And so usually with girls, we find that all the traditional signs that things aren't going okay, we don't see that. They're doing well in school. You know, they may be involved with activities. They have friends. So we're not seeing these things right away. Whereas with boys, and this is the unique part of the research, with boys, we see it right away. You know, we see they may start doing poorly in school. They're not engaging in things that they used to enjoy. They're acting out. And so the parents are like, whoa, okay, clearly someone's having an issue here. Let's get some help. So what happens is it's this almost mask of I'm okay. And if I show you that I'm okay as the daughter, that maybe you'll be okay and there'll be peace within the family. But it's just masking a bigger issue that will eventually resurface.
I get it. There's so much transition, isn't there? Post-divorce formation of a stepfamily. And you're right. You know, boys, we tend to externalize things and women are going to be more internalizing. Stereotype, but true. And I can certainly see the internalization of this affecting, making sure kind of in that caregiving way that the family's okay. Because if the family's okay, I can be okay. And that nurturing kind of quality that women, young ladies even bring to those relationships. And I can also see where in the process of making sure everybody else is okay, their own sense of self isn't being addressed for themselves by the maybe some of the caregivers that are in their lives at that time. So those things like trust, their identity, those things that can usually be, you know, blossomed in other ways may not be occurring because there's so much transition in the home. And some of those developmental or parenting roles kind of get a little mixed up there. And those things aren't developed fully for these young ladies going into young adulthood. And when we're talking about this early detection and early intervention, are there things you're doing in a way to mitigate, knowing that you're working with families that are going through this process and trying to catch it early so it doesn't develop into a sleeper effect? What are you doing in your interventions there, may I ask?
Absolutely. And that's the magic question, perhaps, right? So, you know, are there ways to be more aware of this? Well, I think first and foremost, you know, education, knowing that this is a thing. If we don't even know that this is something to be aware of, how in the world could we prepare for it? So yeah, I'm a big believer in psychoeducation, yeah. You know, especially, you know, this idea of being informed that if you're a family and you are going through the incredible difficult journey of divorce, you know, separation, divorce, wherever you are on that spectrum, to recognize that even if the children, especially the daughters, even if they seem okay, you know, come from a preventative standpoint, understand that they may not be okay, have an open dialogue with your children, you know, age appropriate, of course, and acknowledge, look, this is hard. Yes. And this is a lot of change in your life. And ask often, don't just ask one time, ask your kids often, how are you doing? And I think, you know, especially for girls, you know, we tend to see it, as I mentioned earlier, all the signs are there that they're doing okay, you know, okay, grades are good, you know, they're functioning well, but it's asking for help with the schools, you know, and encouraging them to lean on maybe a respected teacher, a counselor at school, an advisor, and being able to lean on sort of the community, even outside of the immediate family. Like, let's say, you know, your children are really close with an aunt or a grandparent, bring them in the mix so that if the kids don't feel like talking to you as the parent, that they have other people that they can lean on. And of course, professional help. Right? You know, coming, talking to someone like me.
Exactly. I love your encouragement for parents to be bold and assertive in asking and having the hard conversations, naming, normalizing, being the ones that introduce. As well as it seems like you're doing, honey, I know that this time is normally hard. It's not uncommon for kids to experience. And I want to make sure that you and I can talk in an open way about these things. How are you doing? And sometimes I think parents are afraid. It's almost like, you know, we talk about sex. Well, they're going to have sex. Or we talk about drugs. They're going to go start using. Absolutely not. And so you're talking about if we can have those bold conversations and we can get in there early, we can mitigate these things simply by normalizing and naming a process that they're already in anyway. Let's make it conscious and let's be mindful of it together.
I love that. Yes. I'm nodding my head vigorously.
That's good. If we don't catch it early, you mentioned some of the signs and symptoms, if you will, about what young ladies maybe in their late teens, early 20s, maybe when they come and see you, the things that you're seeing them present. What are the ways that you are assessing this effect And what are you working to do in your work with them to help kind of heal those areas of vulnerability and grow the potential that is there both within themselves and also for them relationally?
That's a wonderful question. And I think it's an incredibly long journey. To be very frank, most of the times when women first come to see me, it's not on their presenting concern on the paperwork. They're putting the sleeper effect. Yes, that's exactly it. I'm exaggerating a bit, you know, on purpose, but you know, it's the idea being that this isn't something that folks come in already identifying. It takes work. It takes understanding to make these connections to experiences they've had in their past. So, you know, if I have women come in and they're struggling with, you know, anxiety, depression, incredibly low self-esteem, body issues, you know, inability to keep a healthy, long-standing relationship, we're going to dive in to the family history. You know, I need to know, what kind of examples have you had in your life about relationships? And if you've, and this is just for example purposes, but if you've had parents that divorced when you were really young, maybe they've had many boyfriends or girlfriends throughout your life, maybe have been remarried several times, you know, that sends these messages to children as they're growing up into their own formative years of, okay, is that normal? Is that what I can expect? And if that's what I can expect, maybe that's not something I want. Or, you know, if they see their mothers, particularly, you know, daughters, if they see their mothers struggling in, you know, whether it be abusive or very toxic, unhealthy relationships, they may find themselves in those same types of relationships.
Absolutely.
Or just say, look, like, not for me. I'm just going to be alone for the rest of my life.
Sure. I really like both those points. The one you started with was, we don't know what we don't know sometimes, but what we do know is that we're experiencing symptoms and signs of things, body image issues, depression, anxiety. These things are manifesting something deeper. And what I love that you're doing is you're naming that these signs and symptoms are just pointing to something that maybe we haven't understood yet. Maybe the sleeper effect in this case, if this is part of your family history. And what if we begin to kind of take all these signs and symptoms and make sense of them. Like, they're pointing us to something that needs to be addressed. It's an area of vulnerability. It's an area where there's likely some wounds and hurts. And we've got an opportunity now with this understanding that you're bringing to go back and have a focal point to do some healing and to do some growth out of that piece. Kristen, as we talk about this, it's always fun to have something we can kind of have as a takeaway, maybe even a story. Can you tell us about someone you've worked with, someone who's come in, you've helped them understand that this is what they're dealing with, here's what's at the core of this, maybe some of the work you did and where you see them kind of being able to grow out of and into?
I can do one better for you, Graham. I'll tell you a personal story.
Well, up me here. That would be great. Thank you for being so honest and open with us. Please do.
Absolutely. I think, you know, transparency and one thing just as an aside as a therapist that I'm such a big believer in is that, you know, if patients are going to trust us, they need to understand that we've been on our own journeys and that, you know, I deeply respect the therapeutic process as both a former patient and now a therapist. So, you know, when I think about the sleeper effect, the reason why I've gone here and you know, this is something that I care about is because it's very close to my heart. I am one of those girls. My parents divorced when I was very young. So when I was 2 years old, my parents divorced. And for me, you know, my parents living these separate lives, that was the only world I knew. In fact, I have zero memories of my parents married or really together for that matter. And so, you know, for a long time, for about 16 years or so, I really thought I had it all together. I'll be honest with you. I was like, okay, you know, I've got this. I was doing well in school. I had friends. I participated in extracurriculars, you know, shout out to my theater choir friends. I was very, very involved. And, you know, I saw other students throughout my academic career, you know, where their parents would get divorced. And I would think to myself, you know what? I got this under control. That my parents' divorce doesn't bother me. It's fine. And well, I had a reality check. I was ending high school and was entering into my early years of college, so probably around 17, 18. And just as I was about ready to go off into the world and find out who I was as a person, I froze. I came to a screeching halt. I was not okay. If I were to describe it, it was I couldn't swallow my anger and sadness anymore. And, you know, quite frankly, I didn't know I had those feelings inside of me. So, you know, this was way before my psychology training years. So I was feeling anger. I was feeling sadness. I had no idea, you know, well, who am I going to be now that I don't have this little microcosm of high school? And I've got to have this all figured out now. And I'm very grateful for guidance that I received from mentors, friends, family, and honestly, my own therapist, you know, shout out to her. We were able to dissect my emotions. We were able to understand where were they coming from? How were they affecting my life? And I came to realize, and this was huge for me, and I, you know, couldn't believe that it took 18 years. Well, I think in some ways I'm still learning, that my parents' divorce and their decisions regarding their own intimate relationships throughout the course of my life had a much bigger impact on me than I could have ever, ever understood.
Yeah, I get that. I think what you're doing in your transparency, which I really appreciate, is you are normalizing that the accumulation, in your case, you're saying, I couldn't swallow my anger or my sadness anymore. And those are the things that typically get internalized. And at some point, maybe we just top off with them and we can't do that anymore. And what we find is that they begin to kind of leak out, don't they? And we're maybe not even conscious of it. But I admire your awareness enough to say, hey, something's going on here. Let me go figure this out. I find that therapists oftentimes become really good at what they do and really excited about what they do when they find an area to express what they themselves have gone through and grown in. Whether it's their own trauma, whether it's through a divorce process, whether it's areas where they've reached an understanding of something. And then they kind of have this really cool sensitivity and awareness, this radar almost for those that are going through something that they went through once upon a time that they are not currently aware of. And they get to help walk them through that with this aha and this potential being reached in ways that never would have happened without their own experience and journey from it, much like what you're describing here.
I love the way you just said that, and it is so powerful, and I think it just reminds me of how privileged we are to do this work, and so I'm grateful that I can use my experiences and my specialized training to help folks get through things like this, and especially with the sleeper effect with, you know, daughters of divorce, you know, I'm not telling them in a first session, perhaps, that I've been through that, but I can empathize and connect with patients that are going through some of the things we're talking about today in such a deep way that I almost don't have to tell them that. They know that I understand.
There's something about that knowing that's probably beyond words. So we're talking about your life work. You're talking about your expertise. You're talking about your own growth and your own work all coming together in the work that you do in therapy. But we also know that it's being expressed in this book that you're putting together as well. Tell us about that.
Oh, yay. I'm so excited to talk about the book. Thank you for that opportunity. This book is a passion project. Absolutely. I want to take my experience, my knowledge with the sleeper effect, and I want to create a collection of stories because I think just one story isn't going to cut it. I think if we can all come together and bring our stories together, that's the power. And so to tell you a little bit about this collection of stories is I want to give women an opportunity to reflect on their experiences as daughters of divorce, to think about their unsuccessful intimate relationships, their roller coaster of mental health issues. And really, when I think about overall what my hope for this book is I want to give the little girls inside all of us a voice that they never knew they had when their parents divorced. You know, that by sharing our stories, we can find voice, we can find empathy, we can find compassion and empowerment. And I believe, you know, most importantly, that this book can serve as a comfort, you know, comfort in knowing, hey, look, you're not alone. And that's the power right there. We're not just normalizing this and sharing our stories. We're saying, I've been there and I hear you.
What a great way to allow us to bear witness to what young ladies and women have gone through, to hold them and help them through that just by bearing witness and allowing a place to have the voice. That is really good, really good. You know, what I love about what you're describing is that there are events that occur in our lives that we have no control over or say in, including divorce and step families being formed and the things that normally go through or get experienced in our lives when those events occur. And, you know, we're pretty young when those things happen. We don't have much say, as I mentioned, and oftentimes we're on the receiving end of so much, and so much gets formulated, you know, within us, our schematas, our beliefs, our sense of who we are, how relationships work, how the world goes, and most of that being unconscious. And sometimes when it doesn't go ideally, one's life and one's potential is really sadly lessened without them even knowing. Lessened meaning it's not their fault, but a ceiling sometimes can be put on. And what you're talking about here is, what if we can come in, understand, name the sleeper effect, in this case for young ladies going through this event, both the divorce and maybe the formulation of a step family and all the things that are sequelae from that time. And what if we say, hey, those things that naturally happen during that time do not have to be limiting. In fact, there's such this great potential there. What if we work through these areas? What if we resolve some of these areas of vulnerability, heal some of these areas that are wounded and hurt? What if we help you recognize all the potential that is truly there and help you realize that you get to have this life through this work that you're doing? That can really be a full expression of not just who you are, but aligned with your design, and for that to be experienced. How cool a work you are doing. I'm really happy for you in that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate those kind words. I just encourage, you know, any women out there that are listening to this podcast who feel like this is speaking to them, perhaps their experiences, their stories, or they know other women who might find this to be really powerful and speak to them. I want to invite you all to participate. I'm still collecting stories. And so if you're open to sharing your story, there's a couple ways you can reach out. You can email me, one word, thesleepereffectproject@gmail.com. Nice. Or you can go through my website, www.kristenwilkinsonpsyd.com, and you can go to the Sleeper Effect tab, and then I can share, you know, more details and guidelines of, you know, other important information contributing to the book. So I'm just thrilled. I hope I get some people that want to share their stories, because the ones I've gotten so far are incredible, and I just can't wait to be able to get this published and out in the world.
Congratulations on that project. It's That's an exciting piece of work coming together. And again, what a nice place to provide witness to those that have gone through this and what they're experiencing. When that book comes out, we'd love to have you back to talk about some of the therapeutic aspects of our growth and what we go through as we do this type of work. So congratulations on that work. We'll have you back.
I look forward to it. Sooner I get more submissions, the sooner it comes out.
Kristen, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been great to have you back, and for sharing with us about the sleeper effect.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you. And thanks to those who are listening in, we appreciate you being with us. And we look forward to have you joining us next time on Behavioral Health Today.
Behavioral Health Today is a podcast part of the Triad Behavioral Health Network, all rights reserved.